We learn more by looking for the answer to a question and not finding it than we do from learning the answer itself. Lloyd Alexander. Welcome to Coach to Scale, how modern leaders build coaching cultures. I'm your host, Matt Benelli. Join me as we build a community of like-minded professionals who share the belief that effective coaching improves the performance of every team member. Our mission is to help leaders become better coaches. The Coach to Scale podcast is sponsored by Coachem, the world's first AI coaching execution platform that leverages evidence-based coaching to increase quota attainment. And with that, let's get started. To keep looking for answers, not finding them, but learning a ton along the way, requires both energy and curiosity, two attributes today's guest possesses in abundance. He's focused his career on helping businesses improve their marketing efforts, serving as fractional CMO for several companies. He's currently the founder and chief evangelist at Ringmaster and the host of two podcasts, not one, but two, Creating the Greatest Show and The Hardcore Marketing Show. Also a member of the Red Jacket Ski Patrol team at his local mountain, fellow U.S. Marine and Jeep owner, Casey Cheshire. Welcome to Coach to Scale.
Matt, thank you so much for having me. Damn, that intro was good. I may have two podcasts, but I think I'm in school right now learning how to do a good intro. This is great.
That's right. Yeah, there we go. Intro school. All right, Casey, jumping right in. When it comes to the relationship between marketing and sales, right, and you're very familiar with that relationship, and that's, you know, often strained over time, you know, the corporate salute. But with considering that relationship, what's a myth that you hear way too often you think is misguided or maybe even complete BS?
Man, there's so many myths. It's almost like I just want to like smash things left and right, you know, just like put me in that China shop so I can smash things. I think the one that gets me, that strikes me first, is the idea that these groups are just inherently going to always get along or not get along, right? They're always going to disagree with each other. And that just doesn't have to be the case. And, you know, one particular time I remember being a junior person getting hired for, in this case, a marketing position. Now I will say I'm a marketer, but I have put in the time selling things like tuxedos, which I'm sure we'll get into. But I remember getting hired for a marketing job, and they're like, please chat with the director of sales. And we were chatting, and it seemed like a nice conversation. But then he had this truth drop on me where he said, I think marketing and sales should always hate each other. I think it's good for business. I think that rivalry just stirs things up. And I didn't know enough at that time, because again, I was new in my career, to know that was absolute bullshit. That guy was off his absolute rocker. He does not know what he's talking about. And now I know enough to say that that's exactly what the case may be. You know, there's the idea of, do you want to have a little healthy competition? Do you want to kind of stir things up? No, you don't, because it's not a competition. I think it's like a shift of the mind. If you are in competition with another department, then it's a no-win situation, right? It is a zero-sum game. There are a limited amount of wins to go around, and it's either me or you. And that is not a good place to even start the relationship, right? So you got to have it to the point where, and people talk about this, you know, we got to align, we got to this, but no, seriously, we have to have the same goals. And give me some sales goals. Give me some goals where I'm filling up your pipeline. I'm not just creating some banner, or I'm creating some expo, you know, trade show materials. Like, put me in, coach. Let me be a marketer that's out there playing with the sales team.
So, Casey, why does that happen? Is it because, you know, I mean, like that, what you're talking about, they have to hate each other. It sounds like old school Oracle, like two in a box and, you know, one person's going to win. Why does it happen, even in the modern, you know, the modern organization where sales and marketing are integral to the success of the team?
Well, I think in some cases you got those old school sales guys and gals that are still using Excel. What the hell is going on? I don't know what they're doing. There is a thing called the CRM. I know you're not going to log anything in it, but at least know that it is out there and you can use it, right? So I think there's a little bit of that old school mentality, and that's just going to frankly die off. Like, that's just going to move on. But I think the other half of it is you just don't know. Like, and it's taken me a little bit to understand that I've been blessed with the gift of having been out there, and it's kind of a fun story, I had a chance to sell tuxedos at a bridal expo at many. So I've been to more bridal expos than I care to admit publicly on a podcast. And I was out there in that hallway. They opened that door.
Were you single at the time? Or like, yeah,
maybe half the time I was, but either way, you don't go to a bridal show to pick up women. Let me just tell you that. Like, they're all married. All right. So the doors open and everyone comes out and they're all getting married. They're excited. And I'm like, hey, let's talk tuxedos, right? So I have purposefully put myself in situations where it's uncomfortable and I have to get told no to my face, not virtually, but in person by mothers-in-laws and all sorts of people. And I've had a chance to experience just a little bit of what these sales teams that I work with have experienced, because they're doing it at scale, right? And so, you know, I'm not saying I am a professional SaaS sales rep, but I'm saying I've had a chance to have some of these experiences. So I have a better respect for the other group that I'm working with, right? I was going to say other team, but it's not. I have, for the other people in the other positions, I kind of have a sense for what they're going through. And so it's that knowledge. So to answer your question, I think we just don't know enough about the other people on our teams and their roles, right? We just don't know about the other roles to be able to understand what they're going through, the fact that maybe they are on the same metrics that we are, and we're all pushing the same way. We just don't know enough about them. So just learning a little bit more about how the other people are playing makes a whole different ball game, right? Just, hey, how does that position? I don't usually play defense. I'm usually on offense. Okay, well, learn defense. I always found that when I played, like I started out playing defense in soccer and hockey, and then I switched to offense, and I was so much better on offense because I knew how to be a good defender, right? I knew how to do the other side, and so I was so much better at my job when it came to doing that. And I feel like we just need to do more of that with sales and with marketing, and get out there and learn. And you know what? I always advise junior marketers, marketers coming up through the ranks, I don't care who you are on the marketing side, I tell them to go get some sales experience. Like, I don't care what it is. Sell raffle tickets at a fundraiser. I don't care, but go get rejected so you know what your counterparts are dealing with. And then maybe you can set them up for more success and be more cognizant that those leads that you're churning out, man, someone's going to call that. So let's make sure it's good. Let's not send quality over just for quality's sake, right? For quantity's sake. Let's make this thing happen. So I think we just got to learn more about each other. And the lack of that is where all these crazy things happen.
All right. So, our audience is made up of people who, right, you host the Hardcore Marketing Show. These people live in the Hardcore Sales Show.
Hell yeah.
So what do I, like that salesperson, let's say that's me, what do I need to know about you and your team in marketing, like to build that relationship and just kind of walk that proverbial mile in your shoes? What is it that most salespeople probably don't know about their marketing counterparts that they would benefit from knowing?
There are some really sexy, cool marketing tools that you should totally take advantage of, right? Marketing automation in particular. You got something like Pardot or Marketo, even HubSpot in your organization. Marketing's playing with some sweet tools. And if you don't know about it, and they're specifically capturing data that you can use, but also tools that you can use, automation, nurtures, there are all sorts of really sweet things that can help you maximize your time. That's the whole goal. They're just to help you maximize your time. So you're talking to the people that want to talk to you, and the people that aren't ready yet, the computer's talking to them. They're nurturing them softly and gently, getting them ready for you. So they're playing with a lot of great stuff. And I had a chance to set up these tools for a decade. And I just remember some organizations, and I always recommend this, would do a training where they'd say, okay, we're getting this new tool called Pardot in. Let's train the sales team on what we have available to them. Like, they can use this freely and how it can help them. There's things like knowing that prospect that has been like ghosting you for the last 3 months is currently on your pricing page right now. Yeah. It'd be great to know that real time. And there's the ability to see that. There's tools like this, and they're technically, a lot of these things are just built into the marketing tools, and it's like an add-on. And sometimes, you know, to our fault on the marketing side, we're not doing a good job letting you know that there's some of these things you can take advantage of. And it's not like they cost extra. They're just there. And so to know that, you know, someone is getting nurtured by the system, or they're live on your site right now, even though they've ghosted you for a long time, to know some of these things are available, or the idea of a lead score or grade or what goes into that, just getting a sense for there is some cool tech, there's some toys that you should go play with.
And is it a function right now the approach of the organization where they try to just jam this stuff down your throat and there's an adverse reaction, hey, I'm not going to use it? Because what you're saying is there's a tool in the toolbox that can help us, but for some reason we're not using it. And it might be, is it because we don't know how, or is it something else? What do you think?
Oftentimes it's like, you don't know it's there. Don't know how. And you mentioned the corporate jamming stuff down your throats. That can happen. And sometimes when it is jammed, it's like jammed in a way that isn't speaking to you, right? So oftentimes when I was teaching folks how to use some of these marketing automation tools, it was with the context of, hey, I know what you're trying to do. I know some of the challenges you're facing. You send these emails out and sometimes they don't respond. Well, guess what? Now we got tracking on those, and here's how you can see that they opened it, right? There's just these little tiny minor things that could just let you know that what you're doing is actually taking hold. We had one person, there's a CFO candidate or a prospect that was dodging a sales rep for something like 3 months, and then came back around. They were live on the site, rep reached out, got him in a moment where they were actually doing research. They had picked it back up, scooped him back up. They had a call that like the very next, like they picked up on that. Yet the person had told them, you know, reach back out to me in, you know, 6-7 months. And this was like 3 months in. So there are these little golden moments. I think sometimes they're presented without sales experience, right? So that's why we keep telling people, like, go do the job of the other person so you can give them, you know, a training in their words, or at least, you know, work with someone one-on-one and say, hey, here's some of the things that this can do. Does any of this resonate with you on the sales side? You know, present it to them before jamming it. And then just make it available. It's just there, man. It drives me bonkers. It's there. Please use it. Please close more deals with it. That's what I want.
Yeah, and it's, there's a lot of high tech stuff that, you know, we can talk about when it comes to MarTech. But you know, I remember a story someone told me, and it's equivalent to calling somebody when you're alerted that they may be on your pricing page. It's when somebody texts you that you've been trying to get in the phone. Like, as soon as they text you, call them instead of returning there. Like, that's a low tech version of what you're saying, but it's just these nuggets that, you know, just remember, oh, I'm trying to get someone. They just texted me. I got to call them back. What's the marketing automation version of the same thing? So you interview a lot of CMOs and have a lot of relationships with CMOs. You are and have been a CMO. What are you hearing out there? Where are we going with marketing? What's next? Especially when you think about aligning it to the B2B technology sales world.
Yeah, there's a lot of things happening right now. It's crazy. And I think that the key takeaway is it's evolving and you do need to stay up on it. It's not one of those things that you can just sort of settle. And I think it's actually accelerated more than it has in the past 10 years. It was really standardized around, okay, everyone's digital, cool. And we had this thing, this marketing automation thing for about a decade. It's still here, by the way, but now we've moved on to the next thing, assuming you've implemented that already. So again, things keep moving and it's not like you can skip steps. So the idea of caring at scale, that's what the last 10 years were all about teaching us, is that you can't possibly send your one-on-one love to everybody, but maybe we can programmatically build it in so that we can programmatically send that one-on-one love to many people, but many people that are in your patch that you own, so that emails come out and you know, Matt, you see the emails from me because, you know, I own you in Salesforce, and other people see it from, so you can dynamically have people be taken care of. And I think the whole point of that last decade was, all right, don't look like an idiot, or just because you have all this automation, you could do it for good or for evil, right? So we had a lot of people that were like, oh, cool, I can blast this message out to like 10,000 people. And they sent us the shittiest message, right? They sent the worst message. And so the whole point of it was, don't be a robot. Just because you have a robot at your beck and call, you have this automation, don't be the one sending the worst message now to more people. So more people see bad communication.
Right. Because Casey, what that's been for the past several years, and it feels like it's been amplified these days, is, hey, I'm just circling back, or I'm bumping this up in your inbox, or, hey, you must have missed this, so I'm, sending it again. I mean, I want to light myself on fire either, or reach through the email and,
smash
something
the laptop on the other end, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Brainless coward, not coming up with anything original or personable or one-on-one. You are just sending this mass crap to everyone. It's terrible, right? So, but I guess at the same time, that creates an opportunity. And that was the opportunity. Many people are doing this wrong, but if you did it right, so many examples of people getting nurture emails, and they would come from the rep that owned them. And sometimes it's just a thank you. Hey, thanks for sending that. It's great. Another time they just picked back up. They picked up the sale that was delayed or paused indefinitely. They just picked it back up. They didn't even respond to the email. They didn't respond to the content of it. They just picked up where they left off. Like, there's some great examples of the stuff working. So that was the last 10 years in the last decade or so. And now where we're coming to is, okay, that should all be happening. You should be doing this. You can't, it's like, I can't still be on a brochure deciding if I should be on a website, right? If you're that company, you're not here. You're not even listening to this. You're out of business. Like, it's not happening. So if you're not doing that marketing automation, if you're not doing carrot scale, you're wrong and you're being crushed by your competitor. So that should be happening underneath, and it should be integrated so that it's helping sales, not hurting them. And I will, I will confess, I did one time, I was negotiating with Zoom, right? Back when they were new, and I was negotiating with them to try to get a better rate. And I was about to sign that day, and I got an email that said 50% off all plans, blah, blah, blah. And I hit forward, and I forwarded right to my sales rep. And I was like, I want this, and I had to imagine the conversation behind the scenes. He was like, marketing, what are you doing? I was literally about to sign these guys. You just offered them 50% off. Like, what is going on? So you got to have a little bit of coordination going on. You got to make sure you know where things are at. And look, the tools are smart. People don't even know how smart they are. Not only can you track where someone is and what they're breathing, you can see what they're typing in chat, even if they don't hit send. You can see where they're scrolling on your site, actually scrolling, even looking sometimes. But you can also see if these things are hitting the mark and if they're ready to go. And you can also see that, hey, this deal is in the contract stage. So tell you what, let's snooze all of that email bullshit so we don't inadvertently give Casey 50% off when the contract is out for signing, right? Mm-hmm. So these are all table stakes now. That was the cool stuff for 10 years. That's table stakes now. So where we're at now is a lot more people are doing this. A lot more messages are getting out. Bad ones too, like see my message below. God. So where we're at now is now we have this world of AI even making that worse, but it's still, you can tell it's AI. You can tell what's going on. So where am I?
How can
now?
You tell it's AI, by the way? I'm just curious. I don't know that I can.
Cause it usually sucks just as bad as like a bad marketer, because it's not personal. Here's the thing. Like, you can tell if an email subject line is a marketing message usually, and sometimes I obsess thinking about why you can tell, but oftentimes it's like, well, regular people don't capitalize the first letter of every word when sending an email to a friend, right? And they don't stuff that subject line with all of the valid, relevant keywords to try to get a conversion. And, mm-hmm. It's like when you write good marketing, it's bad marketing and no one wants to read it. So it's actually bad marketing. So it's people trying to be, flowery with language and clever. And it's like, okay, I get it. It's fake. Right.
I think I've heard you use the word anti-fake before.
Yeah.
Kind of anti-fake is authentic. Would that be a fair assessment?
Totally. You don't want perfection. You want human. And so where we're transitioning to is one-to-one connection. So we understand there's an underlying realm of caring at scale. And now we need to really make that one-to-one connection work again. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I'm just tired of the games, right? The games of like, let's go to a trade show and hopefully you'll notice me, right? And that's a marketing game in particular. Sometimes sales, if you're manning the booth, I get it. But then let's say I somehow get your contact information. And now I know sales, you've got to play that game. I want to get you on the phone. Well, I don't want to get on the phone with you, but it's a game we have to play. And I feel like having spent so much time seeing the marketing and sales side of this, I can't do it. I just can't sit there and stare at us doing the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day, but for sales and marketing, which is not nearly as fun because at least Groundhog Day, he was eating donuts and driving cars off of cliffs, right? This is worse. This is sales and marketing. This is let's make a lead. Let's harass the lead until they unsubscribe or they get on the call with us. Let's badger them until they buy. It's just crazy. So what I'm seeing is a move toward that authentic communication. How can we use video? How can we use communication? Even things like podcasts to just have a conversation like we're doing now, right? We're just having a real conversation. We're building a relationship. We're staring at each other. I can't be checking my phone right now because you'll ask me a question. I have no idea what you're saying, right? I don't want that. So you get people focused on you. And the difference between, let's say, chatting with someone on a podcast where you're totally focused on each other, staring at each other's, you know, eyes. I can't see what color they are, but whatever. Right? We're staring at each other's eyes.
They're dreamy.
Dreamy eyes. That's the color is dreamy.
So. Hey, speaking of that, you know, I'm going to take a sip of water. I think you should take a sip of water. You should show everybody like what you're drinking out of there. Hardcore marketing, hardcore
hydration. Hydrate or die.
Hydrate to graduate. So, Casey, when you talk about like these different things that people can do to be authentic or anti-fake or human versus perfection, what are some salespeople or sales teams doing that's maybe would be considered out of the box and super creative that's caught your attention or that you've heard about when you're interviewing folks on your podcast?
Yeah. A couple things that are happening. One is we're getting so much better at understanding the value of people's time, including our sales team, right? So I had a great chat with Emmerich from AgoraPulse recently, and he has like a VA team, like chat or like not chat, screen leads for quality. For all the data before they even hit BDR, right? So I think in the past it was like, well, let's make the bottom of the totem pole deal with this, right? But guess what? They're expensive too. So building in steps to say like, let's preserve human time. Let's use some systems and then some humans and some more humans and let's preserve those salary dollars for the most important activities, right? So I'm seeing a lot of stuff happening with that. And then when it comes time, you're not just throwing quantity, right? In marketing, we've done this for too long and it's our fault. And we, you know, reap the repercussions, which is here, I sent you 1,000 leads and three of them are great. Now you don't trust me and now you're not going to call them anyways, right? So we got to make sure we focus on quality. So what I've seen, to answer your question, I love the video aspect. Tool like BombBomb or some of these other ones where you just send a little video, dumb little video. And sometimes you have that imposter syndrome of like, am I going to be a complete idiot on this video and like, say the wrong thing? Well, you can re-record if you need to, but as long as it's not really terrible and you're like denouncing some civilization, it's probably good to send it. And that imperfection is something that AI is something that, you know, marketing building some mass carrot scale thing just really can't address. They can't be that authentic person reaching out to someone else, especially if they're passionate about what they're talking about. So I am a big fan of seeing how what we do with that individual video.
Yeah. And I've seen you use that very effectively. On average, rough number, like how long does it take for you to prepare a video that you're going to send to one of your customers or one of your prospective customers to, you know, get their attention and be a little bit different?
You know, I might take like 5 seconds to write down my bullets, whether I look at them or not, just like, what do I actually want to say here? Okay. Okay, cool. And then I just hit record. So it really isn't any prep time. It's just the 30 seconds to a minute, you know, it's the new voicemail, but in a good way, because you actually see the person and And you actually have great tracking too. So again, back to the toys that you have on the marketing site, you know if they watched it. You know, I know if you watched the video or not. If you stop watching them, I'm stop sending them to you. But I've gotten so much feedback on those too, just saying like, it was great. Like, but it was also real. And I can't tell you how many times I thought, oh God, I look so dumb on this, or what did I say, or whatever. But then you just send it, you know, you just be yourself. And I'm not even cool. So you've got a sales team full of cool people, man, this video is going to be awesome.
So if you want to send a video to, let's say, 10 people, you know, it's going to take you about 10, it's going to take you less than an hour, right? It's, you know, even if you say 5 minutes per video with the bullets and the couple of takes, it's 5 minutes each, you know, that's 10, 12 people in an hour you could do. And that's prep time. But that's going to likely differentiate you from the competitors, and it's probably going to yield more positive results than, you know, bumping emails up to somebody's inbox, you know, sending that cadence.
In the world of Zoom, it's like you just had a phone call with them, and they didn't have to be on it. You know, it's like a little contact for your relationship, but you didn't have to schedule it. You know,
I like that.
You know, right? Because you get something from seeing someone and interacting with them. So it's like a little quick hit. You know, it won't spoil your dinner, but it definitely adds to the relationship, I think. Yeah. Especially if you have something fun there. But you know what? The scoundrels will see this, and they already do. They'll do it where you can hold up a sign and you can dynamically change the name who's on the sign. So it's like, hey man, I was thinking of you. And your name's on their sign, but really it's digitally placed in there, right? Or hey, Matt, you know, and like throws in a different name. How's it going, man? I was thinking of you. Yeah, you can play with that, but I'm telling you, like, I spent so much time doing this the mass scale care that I got to tell you, and you know, people like John Barrows and other people tell you, you just can't. You can't be a poor sales rep in the age of AI and automation and video. You just be yourself, understand, just listen, right? So I'm not trying to preach to the choir, but I just know that whenever you have something cool, everyone tries to scale it. And then maybe that's just not the answer.
Yep. No, that makes a ton of sense. Caring at scale is not getting lost in a sequence, in a horrible sequence. So all right, Casey, so Ringmaster, you're the founder, you're the chief evangelist at Ringmaster. Tell the audience, what does Ringmaster do and what do you love about it?
We create B2B podcast experiences. We create branded shows. We create conversations is what it comes down to. You know, all the fun words and all the buzzwordsy things, we create these shows that are exciting and put people on there. But at its very base core level, it's this right here. You and I chatting, you know, having a great time learning from each other, building a relationship. And you know, spend an hour with someone focused like that. We don't even do that these days, right? You go to a restaurant, it drives me bonkers. You look over at a table, the family. You know, not judging, but I am judging. You know, if you and your family are all on your phones, you didn't have dinner together, right? Let's be clear. You didn't actually have dinner. But like, we're having dinner right now, if you think about it. Though I would prefer to have a filet, maybe a nice glass of wine with you, but we can't have, or beer. But since we can't have that, at least we can be staring at each other and we don't have to worry about when you have food in the mouth, right? I guess so. It's pretty cool, man. So for me, it's this, man, we're creating a connection. And what can you do with a connection? Partnerships, deals, sales. You know, it's like when you're selling to a friend, it's cool, right? It's like a different experience.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to get back to, where it was the old days, maybe we're pouring each other a drink and we're like, hey, let's come over here and talk about what you need and I'll get my team on it and let's just make this thing happen. I want to get back to that, right? And I feel like that's where the market is going, is us going like, let's get back to this thing where we actually know each other, like each other. And I think it's still the thing. Like when I bought Pardot for the first time, the sales guy was the coolest of them all. He was a nice guy and I liked him. Shout out to Adam. He was a great dude. And he simplified what he could offer me and he taught me some stuff. It was great, but I liked him. He's a cool guy. And I wouldn't have gotten that if we didn't have some one-on-one conversations, talking about things that weren't even sales. Like, how's life, right? So I want to get back to that And that's what we create at Ringmaster. We create these, they're a podcast, but they're really, they're a relationship machine.
You know, the whole relationship and people buy from people they like. And sometimes, I mean, inherently, I know that's true. But I often say, well, is someone going to really buy a marketing automation technology, a CRM system, just because they like somebody? The answer is probably no, not just that. But I've seen real life example very recent of a sales leader, CRO, evaluating conversational intelligence technology. And he said to me, he said, hey, this one is better. He's like, I think this one's better, you know, not head and shoulders better, but it's better technology. But the rep bugs the crap out of me. He's like,
right?
This one, not as good right now, but it's solid. And the rep was unbelievable. It was a great experience. And I got to meet others in the company. And like, that hit me. Like, that's real life. You hear these stories about people buy from people they like, and it's the customer experience. But I saw it in action. Someone make a decision to go with the technology they thought was not as good, but solid because of the experience with the sales rep. And I think it's Arthur Deming, Professor Deming, years ago, management consulting. He talked about the problems with the interaction. The problems in a sale aren't a result of the technology or your product. It's typically an issue with the interaction between the buyer and the seller. And you know, it just all of this stuff hits home when you hear stories like that. Casey, a lot of people hear the word podcast and they get freaked out by it. Like, oh, hey, I like watching them. I like consuming them. But that's not me. That's not my team. I wouldn't even know where to start. Or just marketing in general. Is there a book or a podcast that you recommend, other than, of course, the Hardcore Marketing Show and Creating the Greatest Show? Is there something else that, which we'll put in the show notes, there something else that you'd recommend that's top of mind these days that's resonated with you?
I wrote a book on everything I know about marketing automation. So, you know, it's all in a nutshell, like all the tech, the toys, the cool stuff. From a marketing and sales perspective, it's called Marketing Automation Unleashed. And that's the point. It's there, but if you don't unleash it, it just sits there and it does nothing. So that and the Hardcore Marketing Show, because we do talk to sales leaders as well, but it's just little nuggets of people using these things the right way. And each one makes us incrementally better.
Awesome. And you know, the podcast is called Coach to Scale. So we talk a lot about coaching on this show, and you hear the word coach, who comes to mind? What's a famous coach, someone that most people would know that coaching style, that person appeals to you, and why?
Yeah, I've got a famous answer and then a not famous yet answer for you on this one.
All right.
You know, shout out, you know, I'm up here in New Hampshire, you know, shout out to New England Patriots. I know you all hate me now, or not anymore.
Not me.
Now we suck. So yeah. I get it.
The peaks are as high as the valleys are low, Casey. You've got to give somebody else a chance.
Yeah. We're being givers right now. We're giving chances to everyone else. But you know, shout out to Belichick. You know, whatever the drama, you know, the sports radio guys like to invent around these situations, it was a very drama-free zone, right? We didn't have, you know, individuals above the team. It was very much, hey, the team is what matters. Moving the team forward, like accomplishing the goal together, right? And it wasn't like, look at me showboating. We did not have showboaters. That's why when Cam Newton came along, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work out. And it didn't. But, you know, it's just like I really respected. And then obviously those classic press meetings where, you know, his reaction to happiness and sadness and good news and bad news and tricky questions and boring questions was like the same. It was just the same. And maybe that was overly dramatically undramatic, but still, I liked that it was focused on the goal and not so much the hype and not so much, you know, all the flash and the flare. It was just like, it's just hyper focus, you know? So that's my answer.
Well, even when you talked about Cam Newton, it didn't work, but it quietly didn't work. There was no drama. Chad Ochocinco, right? A lot of these folks that came from, you know, it didn't work, but there were no problems. There was no drama around it. It just didn't work. Like, hey, you can't figure out the playbook. It's, you know, this system's not working for you. See you later. It's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and move on. Okay. So that was the famous person. Well, you said there's a not famous yet person.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Zach Kramer. Zach is a great coach. He's like an executive coach. So for those listening who want someone to hold them accountable, but someone you can bounce things off of that isn't in the chain of command, he's a great guy. I worked with Zach, and in very much like Belichick, he is a no drama guy. And I remember telling him a story, you know, and that's what it was, about some situation that was happening at my last company. And he would listen. You know, he wouldn't cut me off, but he'd say, okay, all right, that's the story. Let's talk about what's actually happening, right? Okay, it's almost like I got the drama off my chest. I needed to tell somebody about this thing. Woe is me. And he's like, okay, cool. So that's the story, but let's dive in, right? Let's roll up our sleeves, whether it was looking at a P&L or, you know, looking at what the stats showed. What did the stats show? Did you actually read this? You know, like, let's dive in. And I just, it's not easy having someone be like, okay, cool, thanks for sharing that, Casey. It doesn't actually matter. And you're like, okay, yeah, I realize that. And so in working with him, it was great to go through processes, and he had a bit of framework too. So he'd walk through frameworks and we'd keep notes and he'd hold me accountable. So there's this aspect of no drama, not feeding my drama. He sort of let me get it out, but then not feed it. You know, and I think sometimes as a manager myself, is I got to be careful not to feed the drama, because maybe that makes me a better coach or a better manager, but it doesn't, you know, maybe it's just a better, more fun conversation, but like, nope, let's get the drama out. Let's move it on. Let's focus on what's going on here and give you some actionable insights, but then let's hold you accountable to like, what actions did you take? You know, last time you said X, Y, and Z, did you do that? You know, and we all need that.
Yeah, I love the no drama, and I love the, you know, that's the story. What's reality? Had a boss that I worked for one time, and I missed the forecast, and she said, "What's going on?" I said, "Oh, you know, that XYZ deal didn't come in." And she said something to the effect of, "Oh, okay. If you didn't use that as an excuse, which one were you going to use next?" And I was like,
"Ouch!" You know,
all right, I get where this is going. All right. I got to ask, kudos to Zach, Zach Kramer, by the way, frameworks. You mentioned that work. We talk a lot about frameworks on the show. It's a big part of coaching. That's why Zach's using them, but you use the word, do you recall a framework that you worked through with him and how that helped you get through something?
Yeah. There's a tool called EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System. And you know, it's just a group of tools and processes for how you do that particular role, or in this case, how you do a company. Hey, you got the book right there.
There we go.
You know what? Preaching the choir. But I tell people all this time, we spend so much time in companies big and small, wasting time on the things that don't matter, right? And also things that maybe have already been figured out. We reinvent the wheel like it's our job. Or, hey, how should we have this meeting tempo? How should we talk about our challenges as a company, or keep track of our scorecard and metrics? It's like, guys, it's not rocket science and it's been figured out. Imagine. And so then what you do is you take a process or system like this and you just lay it on a company or team, right? Because there's team level for this too. And then guess what? You skip all those conversations. Hey, this is how often we meet. This is how we're going to report on things. This is how we're going to hold each other accountable. You know, and if we need to hire or fire, here's the processes for that. Well, I guess what's left is the hard stuff, but it's the stuff we should be doing, which is building value for our customers, figuring out what their challenges are and trying to solve them, right? So it's like we spend so much time on the easy stuff or like the safe stuff, which is like how to do business. But it's like, stop trying to play adult, right? Stop trying to do adulting here. You are an adult. Now spend time figuring out how to help your customers out. And it's not easy. It's harder, but it's also the question you should be focused on.
Mm. Awesome. And here's a question, Casey, that I ask every guest that comes on the show. And Anna, perhaps you answered it with Zach, but I guess more specifically, can you tell us about a time in your career, maybe even earlier in your career, when someone, their coaching had an impact on you that you remember today?
Yeah, shout out to another coach Bill Sizek, cool guy. This is back to the tuxedo days. I remembered getting a series of no's at the bridal show. It's kind of funny when you do that sort of field sales, or you start knowing cities and you're like, I hate that city, or that city doesn't like me at all. I did not play so well in Boston, but bring me to Maine, baby, and let's go. But I remember just having a series of no's, he brought me aside, and first of all, he gave me a rum and coke and he's like, here, drink this. Okay. All right. And they say, hey man, you're spending too much time on the nose. You know, it's like you're trying to twist their arms and convince them that the thing that they've decided they don't want to do this. They've got something else. Like, why? And I was talking, people would come by and they're like, no. And I'm like, Yeah, but this. And meanwhile, he's like, while you're doing that, two people walked by. They were perfect, you know, but you didn't have time or attention for them because you're spending with this other one that was like, no, you know, and it's like, you know, get out of the ego or whatever the thing is in your head that says, I have to convert this person, and get back to helping people, right? Who doesn't have their tuxes or their software figured out, right? Who doesn't have the thing squared away? Go help them out. You know, if these other people need help, they'll come back, you know, and that's where marketing can help. We'll bring them back. If the time is not right now, we'll bring them back for later, but help the people right now that aren't immediate no's. So I shout out to Bill. He was a great, great mentor.
Awesome. That's a great story. And the importance of being comfortable with being rejected and hearing no, and then knowing what to do about it. Those are two super important skills, but they're also different, is what I hear you saying. My son had this phenomenal sales experience when he's 21 now, 22 now, but when he was 19, 20, selling educational books and software door to door in Western Pennsylvania for 13 weeks. And that was one of the things he was taught, which is, if somebody says, you know, it's about how many doors you knock on. And they knocked on doors from 7 a.m. till 8 o'clock at night, 6 days a week. And if you spent too much time trying to overcome some no, then you weren't going to go knock on that next door. And so it wasn't like, no, okay, like Tommy Boy, but it was like, you do something with it. And if that doesn't work, then you move on. So being comfortable with the no, and then knowing what to do with it and when to walk. Super, super important. Kudos to Bill Sizek, and thanks for sharing. Casey, as we wrap, any advice for what's primarily our sales audience, sales leaders, individual contributors out there when it comes to working with marketing, or anything else that comes to mind?
100%. Know how your food is made. Know where it comes from, right? We're obsessed with whole foods and good organic fruits and let's avoid the pesticides and know where things come from, right? Same thing with marketing. Know how this food gets made. You know, quick story for you. On the marketing side, we made this sexy form. It was a pay-per-click form. We were spending buku dollars on this ad campaign on Google to send just droves of people that were interested to this form. And they'd fill it out. And one of the, you know, side bars in marketing is the longer the form, the less people fill it out, right? There's actually math around it and everything, but you want to make your form short and sweet and to the point. And so we did that. We made this optimized marketing. This is what marketing people obsess over, right? We made that form so slick. You landed on it, you couldn't help but fill it out and become a lead. Cool. Well, we also had another form on the website, more organic. It lived on the contact us page. And this was not optimized. This was just like gnarly 30 field thing to sign up to get more information about this product. It was like this product that we were selling. And so there was the sexy form that was like 6 fields or 6.5, right? It was like very, very optimized. And there was this long, clunky 30 field one. Well, someone looked at some data and said, my God, people. Now they were looking at the right thing, which was, how are people turning into business? Cool. It's cool getting leads in, but we don't want leads. We want deals, right? We want revenue. Everyone should be focused on that. So someone looked at a report and it said that the people we get that fill out those 30 fields, well, they're great. They always turn into first of all, opportunities, and they almost always close. and quickly. I'm like, damn, that's amazing. But your sexy marketing form, it's terrible, terrible. They almost never become opportunities. They certainly don't become revenue. What the hell, right? So when you get some bright minds in the boardroom, they start making crazy suggestions like, well, let's make all of our forms 30 fields, which basically means I want less leads everywhere is what that says.
Right.
But maybe it'll make them more high quality and people will get the good ones and only pass the good ones over to sales. Yeah, yeah, maybe we should do that. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds terrible. So what did I do? I went down. And, you know, just like the advice that I'm, you know, giving everyone in sales, go find out how the food is made, go find out how the lead is made, right? Where, the farm that it grows on. You know, I tell all the marketers, go find out how the sale is made. So I went down, joined some sales buddies on the floor and we're looking at them, calling the different leads that were coming in from these different forms. And they were just doing a great job crushing this thing. And then I asked them, hey, oh, look, there's the lead from, you know, essentially the sexy form, right? And like, well, how about that? And they go, oh, no. No, those are terrible. Why? Why are they terrible? Well, they only filled out 6 fields. These other people fill out 30 fields. You see, they didn't know that there's one form that was longer than another. They thought everyone had an equal opportunity to fill out 30 fields. Yeah. And everyone who filled out all 30 fields, well, they were good leads. So those were the golden nuggets that everyone pounced on. People, and there was a bit of an open round robin, they would just pounce on those leads. And the ones that only filled out 6 fields, nah, I'm not going to call them, maybe if I have time, but mostly people wouldn't even call them, which is crazy because those are the ones we spent money on. But no one was calling them because no one knew that they didn't have the opportunity to fill it all 30 fields. You know, and just having a little conversation of how the sale was made, or someone on the sales side could have a little conversation to know how that food was made, right? Would just solve this whole problem. They could have been calling those leads with the 6 fields, you know, long ago and making some great deals out of it. So just a little bit of miscommunication can happen. So that's why, you know, just like I encourage marketers to go sit with sales, go sit with marketing. You don't have to understand how the spices work or, you know, how to cook that egg or make that sauce, but at least, you know, see them do it and get a good sense for that.
Awesome. And Casey, that's a super good place to leave it. We covered a lot of ground today. Most recently, not only should we know where our food's coming from, but we should know where our leads are coming from and where our sales are coming from. We talked about caring at scale. We talked about being human and anti-fake and authentic versus trying to achieve perfection, right? Don't be a robot. So super solid nuggets and actionable takeaways for our audience. I thank you so much for that.
Matt, thank you so much for being on. Let me be on the show. It's a blast. You're great. And just a shout out to everyone listening. This is a great host, a killer show. If you like this, show Matt some love, send him a note on LinkedIn, and definitely go hit up iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this thing and give it a little of that 5-star review. Just to hook up the show that you've been learning from for, I'm sure, many episodes.
All right. Well, look, better coming from you than coming from me. But I echo those. If you're tuning in and you've made it this far, thanks for listening. And it would mean a lot if you choose to leave a comment or rate the show wherever you consume your podcasts. And with that, it's been a pleasure to host this conversation on behalf of Coach to Scale. And until next time, remember, coach them if you want to keep them. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Coach to Scale, How Modern Leaders Build Coaching Cultures. For show notes and other episodes, visit us at coachem.io. That's coachem.io. And follow us on Twitter at coachemnow. See you all next week. Thanks for joining. And remember, coach them if you want to keep them.